Pennies Going in Raw is a production of iHeartRadio. The opinions expressed in the following podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide education and entertainment about the financial industry and the stock market. Enjoy!
On this episode of Pennies Going in Raw, we discuss journaling and tracking trades and data.
You find out life's this game of pennies.
Oh, you guys know we only have a 40% runner. Hello? 40% is a f***ing killing.
We've been compliant for too long. It's time we go to war.
I don't have a Roth.
Q knows so much about the market that his brain doesn't have enough room for grammar.
Hey, who told me about IDEX? It's going up a shit ton now.
Rob, 4%, baby.
No way.
4%.
You asked the exact same question with two words different.
It's like, f***, man, I just got dick whipped for like 20%, and now that f***er's up like 50.
I bet Warren Buffett never did that.
I'm just making this voice memo to call out unusual whales to a fight.
The pennies we need are everywhere around us.
Pennies.
Going in raw.
Featuring Dan, Deity of Dips,
and Hugh Honey.
Produced by Vinny
and Christian.
Let's go, baby.
Welcome back to another episode of Pennies Going in Raw. Today is Sunday, December the 5th, and markets, you know, it's one of those things where you get a little worried, especially going into the weekend. You got the fucking Omicron mega transformer virus, and you think, hey, man, are they just going to talk about this all weekend? And then come Monday, the market's just down after all the bad headlines, or is it finally like, hey, you know, maybe, you know, this is something we're just used to.
I think we're super close to bottom for the year. Like, I think if we haven't already seen it, I think we see it by Monday or Tuesday, December, what is it? What would it be, 6th and 7th? And then after that, I think we start to trend back up for the remainder of the month or end year. So I think that we're close to bottom on SPY. This was kind of like Max Payne. This truly was probably a pretty big wipeout week for a lot of COVID traders. And that's just the reality. It's kind of like that sad truth that you need stuff like this to happen, because at the end of the day, you know, someone makes money, someone loses money. Although it's not a zero sum game, it still is someone makes money, someone loses money. So this was like a pretty good shakeout week. This was like that organic, you know, I think we used the organic chemistry example two weeks ago for class. This is exactly what that was, because the dips were looking like they were going to hold, and then they were flushing down. And not only were they flushing down, I mean, they gave no relief. I think it was Thursday afternoon or whatever. I mean, the market just got smoked like 100 points inside the past hour, which I remember like when I first started trading. I mean, truly, if the market was down 150 points, I mean, that was like breaking news. Now it's like the market's down 800 points. And obviously that has to do with percentages and.
Yeah, no, I mean, and just touching on like the percentages about that, it's like, yeah, a year and a half, 2 years ago,
yeah,
these drops in SPY were like, oh, the market's tanking just on a day.
Yeah.
You know, 2 years ago, that same dollar amount it dropped would have halted the market, would have been a circuit breaker.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. It's truly crazy to think about. Like, I truly remember like, when SPY crossed like 250 for the first time, and I was like, whoa, like that's crazy, you know? And now, I mean, now we're like talking about 500 is only a skip, is a hop, skip, and a jump away. But talking about the market, I truly do think that we're close. You know, the big thing that kind of hurt the market was, yeah, Moderna CEO saying overnight that Omicron or whatever, the vaccines probably wouldn't help for Omicron. I think that part of that was bullshit, because there's really no data to back that up, obviously, yet. I mean, we've had like, what, two cases? And the other part of that is that at the end of the day, he is the CEO of a company. And the more that company produces, obviously, the better he does. And so it's one of those things where, like, you know, it might have been more of like a business play, in my opinion. But I mean, he really killed the market off that comment. So I think that we're close. I'm not going to really speculate on Omicron or anything, but the market, I think, is getting too oversold. I think we're probably a day or two, Monday or Tuesday, we are going to see bottom. If we haven't already seen it, if we gap up in futures Monday night, or excuse me, Sunday night going into Monday, I think that we've probably seen bottom. I'm going to say that. So I'm excited. I'm excited for the rest of the year because things are really going to heat up, I think. I mean, small caps have just gotten smoked. Anything in growth has gotten smoked over the last 8 weeks. And now we're seeing, I mean, I'm kind of seeing more accumulation, kind of more inflow into that, into more growth and more speculative, which is a really good sign because this is kind of what we saw last year. Similar to the SPACs, the IPOs could be the SPAC, but also just in general, I mean, growth names, I think like the average growth name is down about 22%. Inside the past 3 months. So that's a pretty good pullback.
Yeah. How do you feel knowing that on your birthday, SPY decided to fucking tank? Your birthday was Friday and SPY was not happy.
Listen, I was well aware of what SPY was doing while I was walking around New York. Oh my God, I was freaking out. Friday was a mess for me. I only ended up about a little bit red, but the biggest thing was that TD had, so I'm tendering my shares for this Dutch tender. We can go into that another episode. And
Wait. There's a tender for just Dutch girls?
Just Dutch girls. Yeah, you like blonde and blue eyes?
Wow, dude, I'm going to have to get the Switzerland tender. That's awesome, bro. That's sick, man.
Yeah, well, so I was tendering these shares, and and when you do that, you know, you kind of like lock up your shares until the tender's over, and then they give you a price, and we can go into it more detail into another episode. But anyway, so I tendered my shares, and the net liquid that I had inside the company's PRG. If you guys want to check it out, we'll see what they price by like 8 a.m. on Monday. I'm hoping for 48.50. But anyway. So I tendered these shares and the glitch inside my TD Ameritrade account basically said that I was down the amount that I had net liquid inside the company. And so I had like 1.4 inside the company and it said that that's what I was down for on the day. And I swear to God, I genuinely thought I was about to die. I've never, like, there's been glitches, but the glitches, you know, are done in maybe a day. You know, maybe like a minute. You know, maybe 2 minutes tops. And I'm just kept refreshing this thing and kept seeing down 1.4, down 1.4. I'm like, what the hell tanked on me? But yeah, it was just a glitch. So TD in the market really wanted to get me good for my birthday.
Yeah, I love surprises from my broker. There's nothing really better is when the broker just, like whenever the AMC gapped up 500% from 5 to 25 that one morning and the option chain was just closed for an hour, that was fucking awesome. Yeah, well, I lost like 20% of my account on that. So what we kind of want to talk about today, and I think this would be a good time to promote something we got a little coming out soon. We want to talk about tracking trades, data, journaling, shit like that. You know, when you get started, you want to see what every day brings to the table. I think this would also be a good time before we kind of dive in to announce with our next merch drop we got coming out. The 2022 Traders Calendar.
Hell yeah.
It says how many trading days are left on every day as a P&L. So you can say whether you made money or lost money. And it has, you know, monthly tips and everything on there. And I got to lie. If that thing sells as many as I hope it does, I won't be recording a podcast anymore. I'll be on a beach in Malibu sipping some Margies.
Get the hell out of here.
No, yeah, it's really cool. Christian did a hell of a job. So cool. Christian and Vinny definitely killed that. But no, I mean, I think tracking trades, and that was initially how I began tracking my trades, is just like I had like a list of every day, and I was like, hey, I made this. I would try and say like, hey, this is what I lost money on. But, you know, as time goes on, you're trading so much stuff, you can't really, hey, I fucked up here. You know, it kind of gets, you get ahead of yourself. But at the same time, you still do need to kind of do it to know where your mistakes are, where your flaws are, and what you're good at. So, you know, I guess kind of just getting into the basics of tracking your trades and getting the data and everything working.
Yeah. So the first thing is that I'm a mess when it comes to tracking most of my stuff because I'm usually always kind of like researching. I'm always kind of doing different things. I'm talking purely about swing trading at the moment. You know, I mean, usually I'm just research and shit. And so I'll have notes on the company everywhere. I mean, I'll have a Word document that's like, you know, a few pages long, and then I'll have like little scribbles and stuff. And so I really used to be bad at it, especially when I didn't used to use Word documents to track my research. I would just write everything. I mean, I would have like binders and notebooks and stuff like that. And so I had to stop that. So the one thing that I'll say is that I found really helpful for myself is that I keep an overall monthly, and this is something that I really want to get better at going to 2022, is that I'll keep a monthly kind of like trade sheet. And so on that trade sheet, it'll tell me, you know, what my biggest positions were. So for instance, it'll be like X, Y, and Z you held for, you know, the entire month of November, and you had 50,000 shares, something like that. And you traded this many shares, you know? And so I think it's important to also talk about how many shares you traded, because there are certain swing trades that like, I thought that I was doing excellent. And then I look back and I realized like, I didn't lock in any profit. So when it would go up 20%, I wouldn't lock any profit. And it's like when I see those stocks that I didn't trade around the core on anything, you know, it's kind of like a mental note, like, yo, dude, like the data says that you're not doing this right. Like do better. Come on. So I'll use the monthly checklist. And then because I like Catalyst and I like looking into different companies, I'll have a link to the Word document that goes into, so I'll have a link to the Word document that goes into the research for the specific company. So again, it'll be like a Word document for the monthly trades. It'll be like number one, you know, it'll be XYZ, how long you held it this month, how many shares you trade, stuff, and maybe like a few notes. And then the link will bring me to the Word document that will then show all the research that I have on it. And so again, I'm not great at it because I'll have like scribbles around and post-it notes, but that's the way that I do it for the swing trades, because it's literally like a book, you know, it's like your table of contents, and then it goes into it. And that's the way that I do it. You know, some people can kind of keep it all up inside their mental, and that's fine.
As a swing trader who's like big into DD, does your like, hey, this was my mistake on this trade ever turn out as maybe it was the DD I did wrong and not exactly, hey, I sold too early, sold too late. And is it ever like, do you ever have that flaw that you like, oh shit, maybe I look too much into capital and not enough into this data, blah, blah, blah.
So when I first started trading, 100%. I mean, that's why part of what we talk about so much is not drinking the Kool-Aid, is because, I mean, I drank the Kool-Aid of all the CEOs and all the shit for so long.
Then we interview them, they fucking talk all that shit about their stock and then it tanks 50%. Yeah. So who's the real winner, asshole?
No, that's seriously what would end up happening, is that I would drink the Kool-Aid to the point to where, like, you know, anybody that said that they had a chance of, you know, curing cancer, I was like, fuck it, let's get it, baby. And so that was a big fuck up. So when I created this 10 column matrix, that was really important to me, to make sure that the information was really good, that if I could get the information down. And that's why truthfully, like, I don't trade that many things throughout the year, huge size. And that's because when I do trade it, you know, it's really good quality setups that I'll know the research is there. But the hard part is the timing and keeping my emotions in check. That's truly the most difficult part, because let's just say, you know, there might only be 7 or 8 trades that come up throughout the year. So that's only like 2 a quarter that I'm saying, like, I truly size into. But those 7 or 8, you know, they might take 3 months. So that's the thing where, like, if we go up 25% in a day and I don't cut any, and the next day we go down 10%, I'm like, motherfucker, like, do I cut some now? Because if we go back to even, I'm going to be livid. So, you know, that's why at this point, I think it's super, super important that if you're a swing trader, work way more on the high quality research, on the high quality setups, because, you know, the emotional side is just as difficult, if not, in my opinion, more difficult. So that's the thing, is that when I first started, yeah, I used to drink all the Kool-Aid. For the day traders, this I think is super important, and I talked about earlier, but this is what I want to get a lot better at going through 2022, because I used to track all of my day trades super diligently. Like, I used to have tons of data on it. And then I kind of got away from it, just because, like, I would be like, you know, I mean, we're doing different stuff. You know, we got the podcast, you know, life gets busy, shit like that. So I wouldn't take the hour or whatever I was spending to do the, to really do the day trading journal. And, but the way that I used to do it and the way that, I'm going to go back to doing it hardcore is that, but when I'm taking the trade, I'm going to write down why I'm taking this trade. Okay. So, hey, you know, this is trading at 5 times relative, like literally just like, I'll just scribble it 3 times relative volume, 9 EM, it's touching 9 EMA and, like some other shit, like, you know, it's after 10 AM. Okay. And no offering, you know, something like that. And then I'll give it a plan. So I'll say stop losses here. I'm going to take 50% profit here, blah, blah. Okay. So that's what I'm going to do. Like basically mid trade. Then after the trade, after the day's done, I'm going to go back through and give the results. So I sold here. I did this. This is what my profit was, you know, and then I'm going to critique myself and I'm going to critique myself. Like I should have done the trade perfectly, even though that's truly impossible. I think it just used to help me the most. And so that's the way that I do it. You know, you could do it in Excel, you can do it in a spreadsheet, anything like that. But I think that that's really important because you need to visualize the trades. Okay. So that the next time that you see that pattern, I mean, listen, we talk about algorithms all the time. Algorithms come into day trades all the time. I mean, the same algorithm will be on an IPO, on a news play, you know, like there's like Bitcoin algorithms. Every time that a company says they're going to start mining Bitcoin, the same algorithm hits it. So there's stuff like that to where like, if you can start to identify the algorithms, that's when you get to be like on a superior level. Like that is when you start to get, and that is super hard to get. And I only know a few traders that can get to that are at that level currently, but that's where like I strive to be, because if you can pick up on the algorithm, I mean, you can, I mean, it's a cheat code.
Yeah. It's like Zach calling AMC before Wall Street Bets was like, hey, AMC.
Exactly. Exactly. Because that's the thing is that like they're like the one algorithm that I used to track is like 5 green candles on the 5 minute and then 1 big red candle. So on the 4th green candle, I was out and then I would scoop back up on the 5th and I had like 20 trades on that algorithm. And I mean, I killed it. You know, I mean, I wasn't trading with huge size just in case the algorithm decided to change midway. But I mean, it was a consistent thing. And that's where it's like, it's literally a cheat code. Like it's truly a cheat code. So if any market makers out there want to send us their algorithm, you know, we'll take a look at it. But yeah, so that's what I think for day trading is the most important.
Yeah. I think for day trading, the issue is with tracking and journaling your trades, especially if you have a very strong risk management. One of the main things that you'll be like, oh, I really messed that up today is something you didn't take. Cause you know, if you have good risk management and you know, you've been in it for a while, you don't really, if you get out too early, you know, it's whatever, you know, profit's profit. And you're always going to make sure you cut whenever you need to cut and make sure you never take too big of a loss. And the issue always seems to be, hey, I didn't take that. And I think that's one mentality you can't get in of where you're just FOMOing into everything because all your trading journal is, damn, I didn't buy that. Like my trading journal for last week, honestly, is like, I should have taken DWAC when I saw the news. Trump and $1 billion. Like that's a given. That's going to go up. What do people in the stock market love? Trump and $1 billion. Like it was a given, you know, and it went up from what, like 47 or like 44 to 55, something crazy. And I just think that's one of the big things is, yeah, you can put all this stuff in your journal, but just know you're not superhuman. You can't get in everything. Like, everyone is going to make mistakes in this game. It's just about making less mistakes than you make, you know, the right decision.
100%. I used to be really hard on myself. I mean, we talked about it a few times, but when I was like 17, I had a goal. This is so embarrassing. I truly thought that I could never have a red trade. Like I truly thought that if I just tried hard enough and I worked my ass off enough, I was like, dude, like, come on. It's like, you know, at that time, I was a huge Calvin Johnson fan at that time. Calvin Johnson. And basically, I was like, man, Calvin Johnson works so hard. And, you know, he barely ever drops the ball. If I work this hard in trading, you know, and he was doing like 4 a.m. workouts and shit like that. Then you know, I'll never have a red trade. And then I, you know, I use the, I
dude,
use the
well,
analogy.
Fucking Calvin yeah. Johnson and what is it? Madden 2017 might as well have never had a red trade. I swear to God, you could put 11 fucking defenders on that man and he's going to yeah. cash that shit.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, no, exactly. And that's truly what I truly thought that. Like, I was so naive that's what I thought. But I think it's funny because I use the analogy now that it's like if Darrell Revis and Warren Sapp were both, you know, on Calvin Johnson, that's like kind of like what that's like the analogy that I'm going to go with for right now is that, you know, like there's just outside outliers that you just can't account for, you know, that are going to make you red some days and yeah. stuff like that. And if like, it's not
I can't,
just
I can't
you.
Expect zero hedge to tweet out Joe Biden says he has a cold.
Yeah.
That
exactly.
was such a
yeah.
wild oh tweet. It was just Joe Biden says he has a cold. I'm like fucking sick, dude. I've had COVID for 3 weeks and I've been fucking hustling.
Shoot the guy take off?
Yeah. It's just a wild thing because it's like that. We saw it last year whenever Donald Trump got COVID. Market yeah. crashed. What was another one? I remember saying to my friends, I was like, damn, them saying no more stimulus checks affected my account a lot more than just not getting the stimulus check because it made everything tank so damn much.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just thought of a funny story while we're speaking about while I was 17 and my birthday. So I found a note the other day and it was me depositing $200 into my TD Ameritrade account. In 2017, I remember. So I forgot about my birthday like midway through the week, and I used to look so forward to my birthday because I could take the $200 or $300 that I got for my birthday and put it in my trading account. Like it was like a freebie capital injection that I never, you know, accounted for. I used to love my birthday. Now it's like now I forgot about it like midday on Friday because the fucking market was tanking. I was like, end this shit right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, dude. When you start, one thing, I guess this is kind of like a not very relatable thing. When you start to become like a little successful, gift giving holidays are the worst. Because one, everyone Don't. Expects a nice ass gift from you. And two,
and I'm giving nice gifts.
And two, they're like, we don't know what to get you because if you want something, you're just gonna buy it. Like my mom bought me a safe. Obviously,
wait, you want to see what mom got me?
If you listen to the podcast from like 7 episodes ago, you'll know why she bought me a safe. No more Rolex is getting stolen from me. And Hugh's mom, it looks.
This is what mom got me.
Yes, Hugh's mom framed the picture of him and Jim Cramer together. How was Jim Cramer though? How was it?
Oh, he was great. He's a super nice guy. He's a super nice guy. You know, I felt bad because, you know, we were at the game and I was like talking business. But no, I mean, he's a super nice guy. Yeah, I mean, you can tell that he just loves this shit, you know? I think that's so cool. You know, like one of the things that I talked to a few, like there's like guys that were like, you know, short some of the stuff that I'm in, you know, and that's fine. But like, you know, like they're making money. But the thing is that like we all have in common is that we all just love this shit. And so like I love that, you know, like I love that so much.
It's like, you know, when you see a guy at a bar wearing the same football jersey, same team as you, you're like, okay, I have something I can talk to him about.
Yeah.
So kind of going back to tracking your trades, I know we kind of just went over it for swinging a lot and for day trading. I think, how do you kind of concise to make it more concise to where you're not tracking all the bullshit? Because I mean, you can, I mean, especially if you're like a news trader, a momentum trader, there's so much. And it's like, how do I even like keep up with all these? Is this something you need to do after the day, during the day as it happens? Like how do you go about like offer up?
Yeah, you definitely have to do it after the day. So like I said, is that when in the moment, and this just helped for me, is that in the moment, I wanted to know exactly why I wanted to get in that trade. And so I would just scribble down 3 reasons why. And part of it was because sometimes, you know, you trade so many different things that like truthfully, like you forget exactly what you saw inside that minute. So if it's like a tape change, if it's big bids, big buyers, big sellers. So I'll just scribble down 3 quick things. And it's like literally scribbling. It takes 4 seconds. And then the plan I usually, sometimes I'll wait because I know the plan. So sometimes I'll wait until after the trade is done. But the biggest thing for me that helped me was in the moment, writing down why I wanted to get into this trade. And even sometimes that like 2 second hesitation,
would
like
cost
the trade
you.
Would change. Yeah. I mean, one way or the other.
No, literally what made me come up with the, if it's good enough for a great screenshot, it's good enough to sell, was I remember the trade that got me over $50,000 in my account. I screenshotted it, posted it to Twitter, go back to my account, $48,000. I was like, fuck. It was HTGM, I remember.
That's hilarious. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the biggest thing for me is that you know, that helps me. And so even if I do take some slippage and some stuff like that, I'm okay with it because that helped me more mentally than anything, even if it is a little bit of slippage, you know? But the after the trade's done, the journaling, that should be done at the end of the day, because you can, once the market's closed, you can go back and look at the, and you know, obviously hindsight's 20/20, but you can look back and, you know, I mean, just kind of journal it out, write it out, you know, why this is what happened. This is what I should have done. Or even if it was a great trade, like, hey, this is what I should have done differently.
Yeah,
exactly. What worked well? Why did I do this? You know, what I identified. And that's how, like, that is how over, you know, a year or two, you can really bring your trading to the next step. Like, you truly can. Like, I know guys who, their trading is so muscle memory, it's stupid. Like, if I could just bottle that shit, I mean, we'd be trillionaires.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I trade on voice every day. And, I mean, the thing is, like, people trade, like, people, like, even PJ trades Tesla, like, every day. And, this thing is that you just hear, hey, PSR flipping, RSI's this, like, we know it's going to go up. It's, like, every single time. And the calls are always banger. And it's kind of like, you know, I used to kind of, I want to say reverse journal my trades, kind of similar to the Carrie Palmer interview. One of the things I did instead was just setting out my sell limits, buy limits, and stop losses and shit. Obviously, a little hotter market. I wasn't worried about like crazy offerings, tanking shit. But I mean, it's just the idea of like, hey, this is exactly what I want to happen. And if it happens, it will execute automatically. You know, it's like I've got this plan and I'm so committed to it. I'm just setting the trade.
Yeah. No, that's good. And that's why I think like the coolest thing about the podcast is that, you know, we talk about like what we do, and then, you know, we'll get messages from people who just tweak it like a little bit. And they're like, this changed my trading. And I'm like, dude, that's not what I do. And they're like, oh, no. But we got the idea from PGIR. I'm like, dude, that's so sick. You know?
Yeah, it reminds me of the Manziel episode where he was like, yeah, no, I got this idea from one of the PGIR episodes. And so I've been doing it ever since. I was like, I'm pretty sure that's not what we said. But yeah, if it works, it works.
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's so sick. Yeah, I love this podcast.
Okay, well, time to, I don't want to, you know, anyone that's a big crypto trader probably has a lot of marks in their trading journal for the week on the flash crash of crypto. And I'm going to pull it up right now just so we can fuck new phone, not signed into Robinhood.
New phone.
Well, not that new. Just don't ever log into Robinhood. Okay, yeah. So the flash crash of Bitcoin down below 50,000. And I mean, you think we were at 60. On the third, it is the fourth, we're at 48. Down 15% in the past 5 days, down 10% today, down 20% in the past month. Although in the past 6 months, still up 33%. I mean, you talk about it all the time, the potential rug pull and everything. But I mean, just the fact that this crash that everyone's talking about only has it down to about $50,000 is still freaking insane.
So the crypto flash crash, I know for Bitcoin, not a lot of people, but there was a few big positions that were liquidated, like over $1 billion. Like I think it was like a few. Yeah, no. They were big. And at the end of the day, it comes down to supply and demand. And so if you start a run on these things, it's the same thing that we always see every few years. You know, this obviously wasn't a big one. It was a small flash. I mean, truthfully, it was a small flash crash for Bitcoin being up here. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. I truly wouldn't be shocked if we saw like a 20. If things really got rolling and we saw like a 20,000, like truthfully, like a 20,000 price correction, like I wouldn't be shocked. But right now, there's obviously so many buyers still there. But it's one of those things where it's just like a low float stock. Truly, like Bitcoin is like a low float stock. You know, if enough people try and liquidate their positions, they're going to start to hit stop losses. And then you start to hit bigger stop losses. And then you start to hit the people that are over leveraged, you know, and who are on margin, basically. And then it's like, you know, you hit enough big whales on leverage. And I mean, you see some pretty crazy action. So obviously we didn't get to that level. You know, there's still buyers sitting right there. But it was really interesting to watch. I mean, you know, my crypto portfolio took a little bit of a hit this week. I will say I was not too happy about it. I think I'll add some more.
Oh, you're a big crypto guy now.
I'm a bit, you know, I mean, I got a portfolio. You know, I mean, it ain't too shabby. You know, it's not big, but it's over PDT. Over PDT. I don't think
you need it to trade crypto every day, but I mean, hey, whatever, man. You do you.
But yeah, so I think it's really interesting that Bitcoin is correlating kind of with the market. You know, who knows if it truly is correlating with the market or if it was just like a one-off. But I mean, the market kind of saw a pretty big flush. Bitcoin saw a pretty, all the cryptos saw a pretty big flush. You know, it's interesting to see because before it used to be inverse.
Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, I mean, and as fucking dumb as it sounds, they either go with it or they go against it. It's like every time. It's neither like Bitcoin's not chilling if the market's tanking, you know? It's going up or going down. It's not hovering.
Yeah, no, that's a good way to put it because you know, that's really interesting. I never really thought about it like that, but you're right. When volatility comes into one, volatility comes into the other, almost certainly. So look at you, Dano.
I do. Really thought about Picasso over here.
But I honestly, I mean, hey,
painting the chart.
If we want to bring Bitcoin down sub 20K, you know, maybe I'll buy one.
Yeah, dude. Maybe we should have just bought it when it was at 4K a year and a half ago.
Yeah, no, that would have been good. That would have been good. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, we're going to need the Bitcoin to buy the NFTs that we're going to buy anyway. So it's like, might as well just go ahead and buy it. I haven't heard a lot about NFTs recently.
No, the NFT market kind of has been.
I don't know anything about the price right now, but I haven't seen anyone buying a CryptoPunk for $20 million in the past couple weeks.
I think it's because Congress mentioned that money laundering will start to get clamped on through.
Yeah, dude. I mean, fuck it, dude. I mean, money laundering. Would I rather do it through a fucking picture of a monkey wearing a cap or do it by investing in a laundromat? A lot easier to do it through a fucking monkey wearing a Bulls jersey.
This thing's totally worth $20 million. Yeah.
Yeah, and if not. Write off. Okay, well, boys, this was extremely aggressive for us to even be able to record this. I was actually thinking about just putting my phone on airplane mode today. Yesterday was Hugh's birthday, and I went to a Shaq concert. I finally
for
got
my
to
birthday.
Yeah, I went to that for your birthday. We were celebrating your birthday in Houston. I finally got to see Shaq play. It just happened to be music and not basketball. So
that looks so sick.
It was cool. I'll be honest. I'm sure it was a lot of fun. And apparently Shaq did perform.
I saw Shaq perform.
Yeah.
On your Snapchat story or whatever.
Oh, God. I have a Snapchat story. Okay. Well, I've got to go delete my Snapchat story. And I hope everyone has a great week. And we will see you Wednesday.
See you, homie.
Pennies Going in Raw is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.